Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host, Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On today, we're going to have a very special guest whom I will introduce in a second. But first, I would like to read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 5. And it reads, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of God, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever." I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and seekers of his holy word. I would like to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to have a guest on the ministry. We're asking that you continue to bless Mr. Howard and all of his endeavors. Would you just help the listeners and bless something to be said or done that would edify and glorify who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, and I would like to introduce our guest today. Mr. Howard Berg is widely acclaimed as the world's fastest reader. Yes, you heard me right, the world's fastest reader. He is in the Guinness Book of World Records. He's been recorded in major newspapers across America, and he's demonstrated on more than 600 radio and television programs nationwide that he is the world's fastest reader. He is a highly sought-after speaker in schools and agencies, and he has many wonderful strategies that he is going to share with us today. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to some and welcome to others, Mr. Howard Berg. Mr. Berg, are you on the line?
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. I'm going to ask you a few questions concerning your reading and just the greatness of it, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Can you tell listeners a little bit about how you were discovered as the world's fastest reader?
You have to submit your evidence to the Guinness people, and I had been tested in 5 cities on 5 news shows and by 5 newspaper reporters in 5 additional cities, so I actually had 5 videos and 5 newspaper articles. Most of the claims only have one newspaper article or one news show, so I actually had 10 times more evidence than the average record in the book.
Wow. And currently, you're still the world's fastest reader, is that right?
They've never had another person in the book to speed reading. So I'm the only person they've ever printed.
Wow, amazing. And I'm so glad you joined me today. This is great. Okay. Now, can you tell listeners, and a lot of educators are listening to this, and I'm in the education field and the ministry field, what are your top strategies for reading, regular reading, versus, or fluency, versus speed reading? What is the difference between, you know, me reading a book at my pace and you reading a book at your pace? What is the difference?
That's a good question. When you're driving in a car, you're reading the road, and you're reading the road in 4 directions, front, back, left, and right. And in many places, you're going 60 to 70 miles an hour, and it's effortless. Even though you're watching your gauges and watching the road and talking to people and listening to radio and maybe you're on the phone. You read a book at about 200 words a minute, and you're lucky if the next day you remember the name of the book and who wrote it. And the difference between the two types of reading really answers your question. When you're in a car, you process everything like a movie. You see it. When you're in a book, it seems like somebody's speaking in back of your head aloud, one word at a time. So we're literally hearing the book with our eyes. And I found a way to read a book the way you do everything else visually, see things. more like a movie or a picture. And so when you're reading, you're listening to the book. When I'm reading, I'm seeing the information more visually, and that's essentially the big difference.
Wow. Now let me ask you this. When you say that you're seeing the words more visually, you have to, in other words, you have to visualize, or some kind of way, there has to be a cognitive plan before you read so that you can use your visual tactics rather than your auditory. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, let's say you're reading about Madonna or President Obama or former President Bush. You kind of see them in your mind's imagination. And
mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is I'm seeing more and more information in the text as an image rather than as a sound bite. And I can actually show you how to start doing that and increase the speed of our audience today by about 10 to 20% in about 3 minutes' time.
Wow. Okay. And so, go ahead.
Well, what I'd like you to do after the show is pick a book, preferably a book you've read already, and you know well enough that there's nothing in it that would confuse you. And the reason I suggest that is I want to make sure the only thing that could confuse you is how fast you're reading and not what you're reading. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold. I'm getting over.
That's okay.
So what I want you to do is get a timer. It could be a smartphone or a watch or an egg timer in the kitchen. Time yourself for a minute. Go to the first page of the first chapter and just read the way you normally read. At the end of the minute, take a pencil or a pen, put a little mark in the margin where you finish, so you know how far you're reading now. Now I'm going to give you the secret sauce, and show you how to get quicker. Go to the second chapter in your book, and this time you're going to use your hands. I want you to move your left hand from the left to the right margin, one line at a time, and have your eye follow your hand, moving as quickly as you can comprehend. That keep going faster till you can't comprehend, so you actually figure out how fast that comprehension rate is. And when you see you no longer can comprehend, drop your speed back just enough that your comprehension comes back so you know you're actually reading as quickly as possible. And for about 5 minutes, practice using your left hand to move your eyes across one line of text at a time as quickly as you can understand. And when you're done doing that, go back to the first chapter, the first page, where you tested yourself for a minute. This time, test yourself for a minute using your hand, going as quickly as you can comprehend. And you'll be amazed. You'll go 10, 15, maybe even 20% further just by that one simple change. It's that simple.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm writing that down, and I'm going to replay this particular segment. Now, tell me this. Do you have to have any past experience with the subject that you're reading about?
That's a good question. You'll always read faster in subjects when you already know the words and the names. So if you're reading about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, you don't go, who's that? You're going to read faster than someone's like, I don't know who that is. So if I use a word like Agilius Phoenicius, which is a real word, you're probably going to have to slow down and figure out what it means before you keep going. Whereas if I use a word like red-winged blackbird, which is what it actually is, you wouldn't have to slow down. So you always read quicker if you have more experience in a subject, you know more of the ideas, and you know more of the words, which is one of the reasons why I suggested people pick a book they already are familiar with. And one of the things we do is we teach people the two situations. You're reading in something familiar or you're reading in something unfamiliar. And so your strategies wouldn't be the same. You're always going to read quicker when you already know a lot of the information and you're adding more information. Fortunately, a lot of what we read tends to be that type of reading. Lawyers read law books, doctors read medical books, accountants read accounting books. So we tend to have a good background in subjects we typically read in, and we're trying to find more information. Or we're learning something brand new for the first time. So both things are valid, both things are reading, but we've created a program which gives people a toolbox, and they can pick the tool that's best suited for that subject with their background, for the type of learning they're trying to achieve with the amount of time they have available. So no two people are doing it quite the same way, and it adjusts to the learner's learning style and previous experience with the subject, rather than one size fits all, everyone does the same thing all the time, which makes no sense. So it's a very flexible program, and that's why I think it's had so much success. In fact, I have 11-year-olds going to university and passing classes for credit and as little as an A, with an A in as little as a week. Stephen Terry graduated University of Texas Arlington at 16 with a 4.0 and got his master's at 19 in math at OU. Brad Bowler did four-year college in 6 months. Micah Stanley passed the bar in California at 19. I can go on and on and on. So the reason it's working so well is everybody is getting a private way of doing it. They're learning how to do it based on their own learning style and learning needs. So it becomes very easy for anyone to use because everyone does it a little bit differently, but it's the right way for them.
Oh, well. And speaking of our youth and age groups, you know, because a lot of times in the elementary levels and even in junior high, we're working on fluency with the students. So what age group would you recommend introducing this speed reading method that you have?
I usually say sixth grade and up. The reason is up until the fourth grade, you're learning how to read. Fourth grade is the first year where you have to read to learn, which is why so many students start falling behind in the fourth grade. However, I have had students as young as 9 years old, which is third grade, who had sixth grade reading. They were mature enough to take a four-hour program and actually wanted to learn it. Now, that's not your typical nine-year-old. But if a nine-year-old is mature enough, has reading skills that have matured as well, and is interested in the program, I have seen a lot of success with that group of students, but that's a subgroup. Most of the time, I recommend sixth grade and up. They have a little more patience, more experience with longer days and more serious types of learning. And what I usually teach the younger children before the fourth grade is memory, how to remember information and how to study, what to look for and how to find it and what to do with it once they locate it. So when they're learning how to read, they can remember what they're learning.
Wow. Okay, great. Now, what are your insights for getting our young people, and when I say young, I'm talking about at the lower level, such as elementary, getting people to even engage in reading? Because this appears fun. This is something I want to do, you know, speed read. But how do you motivate our youth to begin reading? How did you begin reading, you know, and just fall in love with it like you are?
Those are two different questions. I'll answer both of them.
Okay.
For the average person, there's two types of students. There's the one who likes to read, and then there's the more typical student who's like, why do I have to do this? I'd rather play with my friends. And I think parents have had experience, know that there are both types of kids. When you have a student who doesn't like to read, and there are many of them, there's a trick that you can use to engage them in reading. And that's find something they actually like. Like my son hated reading. My daughter was more like me. He loved video games. So I got him a subscription to the Sony PlayStation magazine. And he couldn't wait for his magazine to come in the mail every month. And he devoured it. He memorized every strategy, every system. He became the best gamer in his school because he was devouring this magazine. Now, I don't care what he's reading, whether it's a comic book or a science book. Reading is reading. As they get older and their tastes evolve and they become more mature, they'll pick more desirable material. If you have a youngster who hates reading but loves sports, get them Sports Illustrated. If it's a young girl, get her a magazine with fashion. Find something that they already have a passion for, something they love, something they want to know more about. And you won't have to drive them to read. They'll push you out of the way to get to it. Now, for me, it was a little different. I grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, very, very difficult place. Lots of gangs, very violent. In fact, it was a lot like West Side Story without the music and dancing. And I found the one place in my neighborhood that was safe was the library. Have you ever been in a library and felt endangered by gang kids? It's very rare that they'd even be seen in a library, let alone go there. And so I spent a lot of time there, and I had college reading in sixth grade because that's what I did. And I read books on quantum mechanics when I was 9 years old. I was lecturing on astronomy when I was seven. So it was probably because I was in such a bad area and there was so much violence that reading was my escape. Reading was my out, and it turned out to be a good, strong, healthy thing for me to do. And as I got older, it became a skill that I became very good at. Before I even learned to read quickly, I was reading about 3,000 words a minute, which is about 15 times faster than normal because I was doing it so much. So for me, it was a little bit different, but what I have found is that I can help an average person go about 100% faster in about 2.5 hours. And we actually did a scientific study, a double-blind study, where 100 people were selected at random and given a standardized test with an A and B test. 50 took A and B and 50 did B and A to make sure the B test wasn't simpler. And the average person in the 100-person group doubled to quadrupled with no loss of comprehension. Most people doubled. So we know that it's very possible for a very average person to go at least 100% faster in just a couple of hours with excellent comprehension.
Just speechless. Okay, excellent. Now, Mr. Howard, I know that you probably have a book somewhere in your house. Do you mind, like, reading a page just so we can hear the fluency that you have?
You would be able to hear it. I read it 25,000 words a minute, and the fastest speaker is 2,500 words a minute. But if you go to watchhowardread.com, I read the healthcare bill on Cavuto in 50 minutes, and there's a video of me finishing the 1,500-page healthcare bill the last 3 or 4 minutes, so you can actually see me doing that. And it's also a video of me with Justin Timberlake and Peyton Manning. I was the spokesperson for Sony for the e-reader, so both videos are there, but it's watchhowardread.com, so you can actually see me reading.
All right, I'm going to write that down. Wow, okay. All right, now let's talk a little bit about your seminars because I know that you travel all around the world and you have impacted so many people. Tell us a little bit about that experience. What can we expect if we were to join a seminar?
You could expect in 4 hours to double your reading speed, you know, exactly what to look for. If you ever had a book and you were in school or work and you weren't sure what to learn, there was too much information, you didn't have enough time to learn it all, it's like, what should I focus on? You'll know exactly what to focus on, how to know when you found it. You'll learn how to analyze the things that you didn't understand so you can make them understandable. For example, you read a calculus book and when you're done, you still don't know how to do math. You still have to learn it. So I teach study skills for learning things and then memory skills for remembering. In fact, if you'd like, I can actually give you a speed memory skill right now where we could memorize a list backwards and forwards together with our audience just 3 minutes' time. Would you like to experience that?
Sure.
So here are the 10 things you want to remember. Pole, shoes, tricycle, car, glove, gun, dice, skate, cat, and bowling pins. If you're like most people right now, you don't remember the whole list. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's fair.
In 3 minutes, not only will you know the list, but backwards and forwards. And when I'm done, I'll show you how to use it as a tool for learning numbers. One of the things the Greeks and Romans discovered thousands of years ago, it's easier to learn a new thing if you make a relationship with something you know already. Now, I know you can count to 10. So we're going to use the numbers from 1 to 10 to remember the 10 things. And the first thing we're going to remember is 1. Is a pole, because a 1 looks like a pole, a big, tall 1. So 1 is what?
Pole.
Good. 2 is shoes. How many shoes do you wear?
2.
So 2 is? Shoes. And what's 1?
Pole.
Good. 3 is tricycle, because there's 3 wheels on a tricycle. What's 3?
Tricycle.
2?
Shoes.
1.
Pole.
4 is car. There's 4 tires on a car. So what's 4?
Car.
What was two?
Shoes.
One?
Pole.
And three?
Tricycle.
Getting smarter already. Five is glove. How many fingers go in a glove?
Five.
So five is glove. What's five?
Glove.
Three?
Tricycle.
One?
Pole.
Okay. Six gun. They love guns in Texas. I think you're in Texas, too. I'm in Dallas. So
oh,
six
yeah.
Gun. So what's six?
Gun.
Four?
Four is car.
And two?
Shoes.
Good. Seven is lucky and dice, so seven is dice. What's seven?
Dice.
Five?
Five is glove.
Three?
Tricycle.
And one?
Pole.
Almost done. Eight skate. Rhymes work. Say eight skate.
Eight skate.
What's eight?
Skate.
What did they like in Texas? Six?
Guns.
Four?
A car.
Two?
Shoes.
How many lives does a cat have? Nine. So nine is cat. What's nine?
Cat.
What was seven lucky in?
Dice.
Five?
Glove.
Three?
Tricycle.
One?
Pole.
Fantastic. One more and we're done. How many bowling pins in a lane? Ten? Bowling pins. So what's ten?
Bowling pin.
Let's do the whole list. One.
Pole.
Two.
Shoes.
Three.
Tricycle.
Four.
Car.
Five.
Glove.
Six.
Gun.
Seven.
Dice.
Eight.
Skate.
Nine.
Cat.
And last one, ten.
Bowling pins.
Perfect. Now here's how you use it. Your youngster is learning trigonometry. And the value of pi, which is used to measure the area of a circle, is 3.14. No one remembers it because it's a weird number. Instead of memorizing numbers in science and math, you can turn it into a movie. Three is a tricycle. One is a pole. The four is a car. A tricycle hits a pole on a car. Tricycle, what number?
A tricycle is three.
Hits a pole.
One.
On a car.
Yes. Four is a car.
So that's 3.14. There's the value of pi. And now you know how to learn numbers. By the way, if people want more information on my program, they can go to howieprogram.com. HOWIEprogram.com.
Okay. Oh, thank you for that. I'm gonna teach the kids with that. Yes, that is wonderful.
Yeah. I used that with my grandkids when they were three, and now they're 14, and they were reading on average 60 books a summer from the time they were nine. When they were nine, I had one of them at 770 words a minute, and the other at 370. Which is pretty great because the average adult is 200. And I'm talking books like Robinson Crusoe, not Horton Hears a Who.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. I like that. Okay. Now, what are some pointers you would leave with readers as far as increasing fluency and what makes – okay, let me ask you this. What makes your program so unique? That's what I'm going to ask. What makes your program so unique people were wanting to join?
I don't just teach mechanics. That's how most programs work. I teach them how their brain works and how to be able to use that to read faster and slow down when they want to. Well, most programs, you have to read fast all the time. I'll show you exactly how that works. There's a concept in psychology. It's called schema. That's a big word, but all it means is what you know already. So if you're reading a book that says a man drank a glass of water, you don't say, wait, what's a glass? What's a man? What's water? Because you know those things, you could read them. I'm going to read a passage that has no schema. Watch how confusing it is. And then I'll put a one-word title on and watch how instantly the same words are easily read. So here's the schemaless text. This is an easy thing to do. If possible, you could do it at home. but you could always go someplace else if it's necessary. Beware of overdoing it. This is a major mistake and may cost you quite a bit of money. Right now it's confusing, but watch what happens when I put on a one-word title. Laundry. Laundry, this is an easy thing to do. If possible, you could do it at home, but you could always go someplace else if it's necessary. Beware of overdoing it. This is a major mistake and may cost you quite a bit of money. So what I'm teaching people is how to find these schematic clues at very high speed. So these are the clues that make the words on the page make sense, give it meaning and significance. And once you know where to look for it, how to find it, and you're doing it 2 to 4 times faster, you're not just going to be reading quicker, you're going to be reading smarter, and it's going to make more sense, and you're going to be able to understand more difficult material more readily. And that's one of the big differences between this program and other ones. I'm much more focused on learning and understanding than speed. I think most people want to learn faster, not read faster. And that's why I put more time on the learning than on just simply moving the hand quickly across the page and not remembering or understanding anything, which is what's happened in many other speed reading programs.
Wow. Let me ask you a little bit about your education background. First of all, what was your specialization in education?
I was actually a psychobiologist. I majored in biology at the State University of New York, Binghamton. When I was a junior, I got interested in the brain, and I went to the dean, and I said, I want to do 2 majors, psychology and biology. He said, you can't. And yet, when you're at college left, you haven't had any courses in psychology. You'd have to do a 4-year psychology program in 1 year and take 6 science courses a term, and frankly, you're not smart enough. That's when I realized they don't teach learning at work or school. And I started learning about how the brain works. I got up to 80 pages a minute. And I finished the 4-year program in 1 year. And I took the graduate record exam, and I scored, it was like 23,000 biologists who took this test in the world, and I was in the top 100, 1%, by memorizing 48 books in 3 nights. Then I taught in New York City for 10 years, in the inner city, Bedford Stuyvesant, Crown Heights, tough schools. And after that, I owned a school for 10 years where I used my strategies and taught students accelerated learning, and the average student did high school in 2.5 years with 30 to 45 college credits. Not one of our students started in junior high ever finished high school because they all had college degrees before they got out of high school, and they didn't need a high school degree because they had college degrees.
Wow. Let me ask you this. When you go to particular schools to speak, what do you focus on? Like, what do you focus on with the students?
Depends on the school and the students. Like if they're younger, I focus more on memory and study skills. If they're very young, I try to make it more play. Like the kids in pre-K and K, you can't really lecture. When they're pre-college, I focus on teaching them how to think in a different way. Because in high school and junior high, the teachers teach you what to learn. It's a pedagogical learning system. They tell you the information and they ask you questions on what they told you on past. In college, they give you a book, supposed to figure out by yourself what's important and what to learn. They don't tell you what to learn. They don't tell you what's important. You have to know how to figure that out. That's an andragogical learning system, an adult learning style. And so many very intelligent students fail. Right now, there's a 70% dropout rate in 2-year colleges, and a 50% dropout rate in 4-year colleges nationally. And it isn't because they aren't intelligent, and it isn't because they aren't motivated, it's because they don't know what they're doing wrong. So what I try to do is to teach them the study skills they will need to succeed, not only in college, but in the workplace, because in today's workplace, it's all about information. We live in a knowledge-based economy, and people who learn faster and learn better make better incomes, have more job security, and if any reason they do lose a job, they can retrain quicker and learn new skills faster. So it's not just about school, it's about success. And they're saying now that I think 1/3 of all the jobs are going to be eliminated in the next 15 years by robots and computers. So people aren't learning how to learn and able to learn new skills quickly, they can find themselves unemployed very quickly. And that's what's, think of people who used to make money in photography. Well, everybody has a phone now that can take pictures. There's very little need for a photographer. Occasionally you might get one for a wedding or a very big event, but the average person now takes their own pictures. So it's a field that's become decimated and very difficult to make a living in. And there are many other fields like that. The newspaper reporters are getting laid off daily because people are no longer buying the newspapers. They're reading the news online. And it just goes on and on and on. They're looking for robots to cook hamburgers and serve food in quick service restaurants. That's where a lot of people with low educational skills are working. They're going to be out of work. If they can replace them with a machine, they're going to be out of work. They really need to be concerned because this is something that they're working on right now. And my goal is to empower them with the learning skills they need so they don't have to be concerned. They can learn something new quickly and effectively because there's tons of jobs right now. People don't realize there's actually a surplus of jobs, but the jobs that have surpluses require good math and science or engineering skills. And the average person finds those subjects difficult only because they didn't learn how to learn. Well, that's my job. My job is to show them how to learn. They can get those jobs and make a living and stop struggling. Too many people try to make more money by working more hours or working more jobs instead of working at something that pays better. So they can actually work less hours and make more money. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to teach them these skills so they can have a successful life and enjoy themselves and not worry about what they're going to do to pay their bills.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, and I promise I only have like three more questions, but this is interesting. A lot of people want to know, okay, so you know we deal with different students or different people on different levels, and some people are mentally challenged. What type of programs do you have for those people who may be slower learners or who may have some difficulty in learning?
Many of the students in my school were ADD and dyslexics, and we found that by teaching them a more visual way to learn, many of them found their problems went away. We didn't do a formal study, so we can't say as a scientific fact that that happened, but I could tell you from anecdotal stories, the people who had those problems told me they went away, which makes me feel very positive that this could help a lot of people. I can't say it'll help everyone, but if somebody's willing to try it, I think they would find it would probably help them. And if it doesn't, I would give them a refund because I only want people to pay for something that actually works and not for something that doesn't work. My other experience has been most of the very successful people that I have met, people making millions and millions of dollars, were students who were challenged. They were ADD. They got bored in a traditional educational environment where they're told to sit down and shut up. And they were leaders, and they were people who needed to keep moving and doing and couldn't sit in a chair for 6 hours a day comfortably. They ended up making tons of money because once you turn them loose and let them use their full intelligence, they accomplished a lot. I think we need to stop asking, is someone intelligent? Instead, we should be asking what makes them intelligent. You look at Paul McCartney, terrible student, but a brilliant musician. He made a lot of money. You don't have to be a genius at everything. You have to be good at something. And we're alienating many people with great skills and talents because they aren't good at something else. We need to start encouraging people to be good at something instead of having to be good at everything. So I don't believe in challenge. I think everybody has something they're good at. They just have to find out what it is, and then they start becoming successful.
Right, right. Okay. That's good. Now, is there anything else you would like to share that has not been mentioned today?
Yes. I actually provide personal help. When people go to HowieProgram.com, if they need my help, I give them my cell phone. They can text me, and I will make sure they actually learn the program. I'm still a teacher, and I want to do more than just sell programs. I want to make sure people actually learn a skill. It's going to change their lives. So I commit myself to actually making sure when people trust me to help them learn something, that I actually make sure they actually learn that something and learn it well. And I think that's what people deserve. And there's people who actually care about us, and there are people who just want to sell stuff. I'm someone who actually cares. I think it's important. When I look at the world and I see all the problems, I would like to think that if I could reach enough people and empower them to learn a little more and understand a little better, they could help find some of the answers to some of these problems, and everyone will benefit. So I can't fix everything, but I could certainly help the people who can fix certain things fix them better and more effectively, and that's why I committed myself to doing this.
Wow. Now, on this particular website that you're referencing, are we able to see the different seminars that you're offering? I'm sure you've had some in Dallas.
It's actually for the online program. It's DVDs and online. It's about 4 hours. It is the seminar, but it's recorded.
Okay.
And they can
take
it at their leisure. And it's easy to learn. I've been doing this for over 30 years. We made it very simple and easy to follow step by step. And again, if they need help, they can contact me, you know. And the only reason I can do that is nobody really needs help. I have so many people taking the program. If everyone contacted me, I would be able to do a show. I'd be busy helping someone. And as you can hear, the phone isn't ringing because I make sure what I teach is easy to learn. But I make sure for some reason if someone has a special problem, I help them because that's what teaching is about. It's helping people.
Right. And you have this particular program for all levels, like if a child would come, if a parent would buy a child, this particular DVD is child-friendly or adult?
Yes. I'd say sixth grade and up. One of the rare programs where you could actually do it as a family. I've seen many people do this with their kids, and I enjoy seeing that because it gives them the opportunity to do something together. And the parent is gaining skills for work and the student's gaining skills for school. The only real difference is what they read. The adult is going to be reading a spreadsheet and the child is going to read a biology book. But reading and learning and studying are the same, and it doesn't matter how old you are. So it's really age indifferent. As long as they're able to read at the sixth grade level and have the desire to learn and read faster, you're going to have some very good results.
Okay, great, great. Okay, well, Mr. Berg, I really appreciate your time. And briefly before we go, can you just tell us a couple of the television programs you've been on so that people can understand, you know?
I was on, I read the healthcare bill on Fox, the 1,500-page bill in 50 minutes, the 2,000-page bill in 58 minutes, and the 2,600-page bill in 90 minutes. I was with Regis and Kathy Lee. I helped launch the Comedy Central Network. When it first started in New York, I was with Dennis Leary and Richard Belzer, and we were on like 7 shows. Dennis had the main show they had at the time. I was on 7 out of the first 14 shows. I was Jon Stewart's first guest on television, and he actually paid the Learning Annex to cancel a workshop so I could be on the show that night. And I've been on, oh, goodness, so many different shows, Good Day New York, Good Day Dallas, Good Day San Francisco, WGN, every major network, radio shows around the country like WJR, which is one of the biggest stations in the country, CCO, ABC in New York. I've literally been on over 1,100 shows.
Wow, that is excellent. Excellent.
I was in Forbes, Selling, Men's Health, Bottom Line, Red Book.
Mm-hmm. What year did you start with these seminars?
1987. I used the techniques for myself since 1970, but I started the seminars around 1986, 1987.
Wow. Okay. Well, Mr. Berg, I could ask you a million questions, but I'm not. I really appreciate your time. I know your schedule is hectic. And please stay connected with me, and I'm going to keep in touch with you because I'm really interested in your seminars and your program.
Well, maybe we could run one where you are. I'm not that
far
from you. I'm in Dallas. If you could run something there, I'd be happy to do it with you.
Okay, and I'll collaborate with you. I'll keep your information, and I'll collaborate with you.
Thanks. Again, it's Howie Program. HowieProgram.com, HowieProgram.com. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to helping the people listening learn faster and help their kids get higher grades.
All right. Thank you so much, and take care.
Take care. Bye. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Howard Berg. And remember, he is the world's fastest reader. He has been on so many radio stations, television stations, and his seminars. According to the little sample that I received today and that you received, his seminars are excellent. It will help our youth, and it will also help our adults as well. And so literacy is very important. Reading is very important, as I said before. You know, I really wish we could get the bookmobiles back to come into the communities and really help our youth, because reading is fundamental. Reading is very, very important, especially for our youth. But without further ado, I would like to encourage you to try Jesus. I tell you what, within these past few days or weeks, the Lord has placed this particular ministry, this talk show, many different places, and I have many people who take out time to come on this. To me, it's a small radio, but it's rich with the Word of God, and it's rich with uplifting individuals, and it's rich with glorifying God through the gifts of people. That's the whole purpose of this radio ministry. And so I really appreciate, I want to appreciate God like right now. And I want to appreciate my family and friends for listening. And as I said before, and my media friends, of course, because they're keeping up with this other page and they're sending in information. But I want to recommend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto you. I understand that this is an interview, and it was an interview with the world's fastest reader. But I am centered around our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to give you this opportunity to listen to Miss Karen Showell's song, He is Faithful, because I want you to understand the significance and importance of the fact that God is faithful, and he can do everything. He can remove mountains. He can put you on a mountain. He can snatch you out of the valley. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. Whatever situation it is, the Lord is able to do that. And so I want to really play this song because I really believe that the Lord is faithful. He's never let me down these 35 years of my life and counting. He hasn't let me down yet. Everything the Lord has promised, he's come forth with it. You know, I started this radio ministry as just a, because the Lord basically, I was going to say ordained, but the Lord commanded me to do so. And so I did it. And, wow, it's taken off because of God, not because of me or anything I'm saying or because of connections. It's because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that the Lord is faithful, and this is by Miss Karen Showell.
Been so faithful to me. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. Was all gone when my heart had no song. Still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. And mercy.
Say the Lord is faithful. That was by Miss Karen Shoel. Please check. And Reverb Nation, as she is on there as well. I have a few announcements to make, and then I'm going to bid you a great and blessed evening. Be sure to continue to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artists, publicists, writers, actors, actresses, and positive leaders, please Facebook Alfreda Love. That's A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E. Or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the Love of Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. Be sure to pray for 210 people. If you have to pray for all your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself. And please, please pray for your friends and those individuals who you know and those who you do not know as well. Some important dates to remember. Remember that on November 2nd, Ms. Tamela Mann and Ms. Tasha Cobbs will be in Killeen, Texas. So please be sure to support those artists. In addition to that, make sure that you mark on your calendars March 28th from 2 to 6, as we're going to have a conference entitled Built to Last. And with this particular conference, as I have always said before, we're going to focus on building not only our community but the people in the community, with emphasis on our youth. And Built to Last is a method, it's a system in which we, you will have different systems that can assist, especially our males from infancy all the way up to 14, because it's 1 in 14, yes, that's the system. And we're going to also concentrate on our girls, and we're going to have different speakers. And this will be at the Bellmead Civic Center in Bellmead, Texas, that is very close to Waco, Texas, about 15 minutes away. And so we want to make sure that we invite each of Central Texas. As I said before, I will be publicizing this everywhere because I already see this particular event. I already see the success. I see pool. I see opportunities. And I see many things. But most of all, I see the vision of God being created. And so that's the most important thing. And we have to save our youth. I was reading earlier today about a child, an infant. She was maybe, she's an infant to me. She was 3 or 4 years old, and she was beat up by, I guess, one of her parents' friends. She was beat up by a gentleman, and she died. So we're going to have to bring an awareness, you know, that our youth are our important, our most important investment, and we're going to have to educate individuals about patience. Patience is in the Bible. About love. Love is in the Bible. About parenthood. Parenthood is in the Bible. And we're going to have to establish those principles in the foundation of building these systematic systems that is going to help not only our youth survive, but help us survive as well. Because we have to make sure that we are educating the whole community, not just our children or not just our parents. And so it's very imperative. So what I'm doing is I'm bringing everyone together, you know, and this is strategic because the Lord is going to send the people that is supposed to be there. This is very strategic. And we're going to have this video, and we're going to make sure that we share it with other people because it's very, very important. And as I said before, we're going to start in Waco. Our next stop will be San Antonio, Texas. But we want to make sure that we are educating the community and the children because so much is happening. Every time you read, there's something about domestic violence. There's something about education. There's something about our youth passing away. It's always something. There's always a story, right? And so we want to make sure that we're filtering the positive things and that we're setting systems in place that will rehabilitate our community and the people. So please be sure to mark on your calendars. It doesn't matter who you are. Mark on your calendars March 28th at the Bellmead Civic Center, the Bellmead Civic Center in Waco, Texas, but it's really Bellmead, and we're 15 minutes away from Waco, so please be sure to mark that on your calendars. Okay, now, I just want to take this time out, as I said before, to tell you that I will give you some updates as far as the Miss Oprah Winfrey and Trailblazers Conference, as well as the event with Judge Maybelline, as I prepare all of this information. So I will give you updates on that. And I want to encourage each and every one of you because, as I said before, the Lord is getting ready to do miraculous things. And as I said before, we must be in position to receive. And the Lord asked us, I believe it was on Sunday, right? Are we pressing, right? Or are we pushing, which means are we forcing ourselves or are we pressing? And pressing and pushing are two different things. When you press, you have determination. And we think about the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed her way through the crowd, amen, because she knew God was coming. But when you push, you force, right? And anything that is forced has a negative outcome, right? When we talk about, let's talk about the church sector, okay? When you have a child or you have children who refuse to go to church, who does not want to go to church, and you force them to go to church, right? No matter how strong and deep the word of God is, right, they hear the word, but the real living comes from them opening up their minds and wanting to be there. And so we must, as the reason why we're bringing this conference too, is we must catch these little ones while they're young. And it's very, very important. And when we talk about pressing, we're speaking about determination, pressing towards the mark of the highest calling, pressing towards the reward, pressing towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The woman says, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, she said, I'll be made whole. And she was made whole because she had faith, but she was pressing. Nobody forced her. Nobody told her, you've been here 12 long years. And you know what? It may have taken her 12 long years just to come out of that house. Jesus was already there. Jesus says, I was there the first second, right, that you had this issue. He said, but it took you 12 long years to come out. And what the Lord is saying is stop forcing people, right? Stop forcing people. He says, some people it'll take a second. Some people it's going to take 12 long years. Some people it's going to take a lifetime. He said, but you do your job to continue to teach and reinforce. But when we begin to push people, force people, they don't get the full effect. That woman had to sit there or stand there for 12 long years, right? I don't know if she lost her faith. I don't know if she just didn't want to come out because she didn't want to be bothered. But after 12 years, she became tired of sitting in that house with that same issue. And God is saying today, whatever issue you have, stop waiting. He said, bring it today. Bring it now. Right? This ministry, yeah, we're interviewing people and we're talking to people and we're going to have people from all over the world that you see on TV, people, ordinary people like me that you see every day. But this ministry is based on the word of God. And what this is saying, God is saying, stop waiting. 12 years, and he's been there the whole time, right? And we posed that question, did that woman with the issue know that the Lord was there? The Lord was there the first second. She was diagnosed with the issue, but she refused to bring it to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord says, here it is. Here is the blessing. You're going to have to come get it, right? So when the Lord is available, which he is always available, he says, come unto me, right? But if we're stubborn, then we're going to deal with that issue. Whatever issue it is, right? Whatever issue it is, God says, bring it today. You can get rid of it, whatever it is. God is healing people, setting people free. Whatever is sweeping the nation, whatever it is, the Lord has already taken care of that. And people are still worried about it. Take it to God. If your mind is going back and forth, worried about things, paranoid, take it to God. Depression, take it to God. Whatever it is, cancer, take it to God. Man, diabetes, take it to God. Suicide, take it to God. You don't have to wait 12 years. The reason why you're in the bond that you're in, the reason why we're in the bond that we're in is because we haven't taken it to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is able to give us abundantly, able to give us life, health, and everything else. But we have to take it to him. He says take everything unto him. So when we talk about pressing and pushing, and we're going back to this, right? We're rewinding the CD. We're going back. Are you pressing or are you pushing? You can't force religion on people. You can't force yourself on people, right? There has to be a genuine love. That's what the Lord is saying. He said there has to be a genuine love. You can't make anybody love you, right? You have to press towards God and those things that love you willingly. But if you're forcing yourself, if you're pushing yourself, then you're going to get resistance. That's what the Lord is saying. Stop forcing yourself. Stop forcing yourself to go to church. And what I mean by that is to start pressing towards the church. It shouldn't be a chore for you to go to church, right? It should be a free will. Lord, because you're good, because of who you are, I'm going to church. Instead of, I'm going to church because I'm on program today, so I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to get up in that choir and sing, or I'm going to have to do the children's sermon. No, go to church because God was thoughtful enough to wake us up, and he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to wake us up. He didn't have to keep us safe. He didn't have to bless us for us. He don't have to do a thing for us. So it shouldn't be a chore to get up and go to church. It shouldn't be a chore to say hallelujah. It shouldn't be a chore to say thank you, Jesus. It shouldn't be a chore to pray at night. We should press our way through. We've had a rough day. Press. Stop pushing and press. When you press something, you iron it out. Amen? You iron it out. And that's what the Lord is saying. Iron it out. That's all you're doing. When you push, right? Think about it. When you're moving something, a cabinet, when you're getting ready to move into this new house, right? And you have a refrigerator. And you have a dolly. Everybody know what a dolly is? A dolly, it may have two wheels or it may have four, right? and you are pressing or you are pushing that dolly, right, you're going to get some resistance in your back. You may get some resistance in your leg, but either way it goes, you are pushing. But when you press, right, so when you put that dolly, where you can move that refrigerator, whatever it is, freely up on there, just push it up on there, right, then the dolly carries the weight. But God is saying what we're doing is we want to push everything. We want to push, and there is resistance. It's kind of like tug-of-war, you know. You're not pushing, you're pulling, but it's the same effect when you're pushing. You're pushing something heavy. You're going to have some side effects, but when you're pressing, you're moving forward. When you're pushing, right, you are pushing that particular thing, but it's still in front of you. It's still blocking your way. Whatever you're pushing, try pushing something. Go outside and try to push, just try to push something. Try to push a car, right? You are pushing something, and there's still some resistance because that load is heavy, okay? So we're going to have to do more pressing than pushing. So that is the ministry for today. And as I said before, be sure to listen to this particular ministry again, because we had some good information as far as fluency and literacy for our youth and adults. We realize and understand if we had one word to describe Mr. Howard Berg, we would suggest that he is a teacher. That's what he is. And so he said that his method is to teach you how to learn. A lot of people want to just be able to read faster, but he actually teaches us how to use our brain and how our brain thinks. So we have that activity, right, where one is a pole because a pole is straight, two is shoes. We have two shoes on our feet. Three is a tricycle, three wheels. Four is a car, that's four tires. Five is a glove. When you play baseball, you have five fingers. Amen. Six guns. He says he correlated this to Texas, okay? Seven dice, right? Lucky dice. Eight, skate. He said that rhymes. Nine, right? How many lives does a cat have? Nine lives. And then, of course, 10, the bowling pins. All right? So we need to make sure that when we're teaching our youth or when we're teaching older adults, we understand how they learn. We understand the brain. And this just came to me. When we have different, especially students or people who are not able to grasp the concept, it's because we haven't tapped into how they learn. And part of the structure with this particular conference that I'm bringing to Belmead is how these youth learn, and they learn through music, right? You know, they can tell you a rhyme or whatever. They learn through music. You know, so we're going to have different strategies in learning, but it's going to all be the same thing, and everyone's going to learn. So I want you to really put that date on your calendar, March 28, 2015, God's will. I want you to be there. It doesn't matter where you are. Make it to Belmead, Texas. If you have not been to Belmead, Texas, this is a great place. We have Collins Street Bakery, which is the best bakery in town. We have many hotels, which are wonderful hotels. You know, we just have a plethora of things, restaurants that you can enjoy. This is not Las Vegas or anything, but this is Belmead, Texas. And Belmead, Texas is a nice place to be, especially on March 28th with Dr. Alfreda Love and the Built to Last Conference with many great speakers and many great community leaders. So without further ado, I would like to tell you, if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, and tomorrow is our praying night. Take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda Love with the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet, the Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry, featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda Love, reminding you to be diligent in your prayers as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that is His Word, and on that you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.